Well, good morning. Glad you guys are here worshiping with us today. We are we're in week three of our Risk It for the Biscuit series. Last week we had a guest speaker, Pastor Terrell from Freedom Church, and I was so thankful for him joining us. I want to continue this week and talk a little bit more about risk. And as I got to thinking about where we are, I got to thinking about the risks that it took to get here. Three years ago, now it's 4 years ago, when God called us to plant a church, to leave all that we knew behind. We were at an amazing church that I had been a part of for, 10 years, and they were growing and thriving, and then God called me to go out and do my own. And there were lots of risk involved, but one of the big questions that people always ask is where, right? Where are you going to plant? I don't know. I don't know where we're going to do that. That was if you want to plant a church, you got to know where you're going, and I had no idea. Finding where was a big part of it. And so as we announced that to our church body and to family and friends, they said, okay, well, where are you going? We had finally landed on a destination, and it was Winter Haven, the Winter Haven Auburndale area. And everyone's like, well, why'd you pick that area? Who do you know there? What's over there? And you know what I said to them? I don't know. Legoland, that was we knew no one out here, and we looked at other areas and we did the research, but for some reason God called us to this area. And as I talk to people that visit Kairos for the first time, or maybe after they come a few times, they ask me what led you to start a church here, and I say, you know what, I don't know, but God knows. And I just followed, and I can't wrap my mind around it. I don't have any understanding of it. I get to see the fruits of it now, and I know he's orchestrating something, has been orchestrating something, and will continue orchestrating something, but honestly, there was no rhyme or reason that led us here. And everyone was like, why didn't you leave Florida? I'm like, I don't know. I had a perfect chance to leave Florida, and we stayed here. And we're here, and God's been doing amazing things as a part. So there was a risk of stepping into the unknown, of not knowing where we're going or what's going to happen. As a part of this journey, we were kind of just funded through our denomination, and they evaluated us and said we're ready. But one of the contingencies was that we would be able to raise $50,000. And I'm like, that's a lot of money for me to try to raise. How am I going to do that? And so there's these risks involved. I gotta be able to do that. I gotta go out. I gotta figure out who wants to be a part of this. And not only do you have to get money to get this thing started, but you also have to get the people. There's so many risks. And so we ended up in the Auburndale, Winter Haven area. And once we knew we were planting here, we were like, okay, well, I guess we gotta find a house. And we're driving down like Main Street in Auburndale, just checking out the area. And like, there's this beautiful 1920 home that's sitting there for sale that's in our price range because the house was a complete mess. And my wife says, this is our house. And I'm like, that one? I'm like, it's cute. Yeah, it's got potential. You know what I'm saying? And we called the realtor up and we said, hey, we want to look at this house. And it was a mess, y'all. It was just a complete mess. It just hadn't been taken good care of. But even with all the mess, we said yes. And with that came a lot of projects, a lot of cleaning, a lot of painting, and more cleaning, renovations, replacing AC, replacing the roof. I mean, just the list is nonstop. It hasn't stopped. We've been there for now over 3 years, and the list hasn't stopped in this home. And there were these risks involved in moving to this home, but it's such a beautiful house. If you've been to my house, it has so much character. It's almost 100 years old, and it's amazing. But there's a lot of work, a lot of upkeep. And in the meantime, not only do we step into this house that needs a lot of work, but we're also planting a church, right? And there's a lot of work. And it's like, y'all are crazy. People call us crazy and stupid all the time. All the time. They're like, what are the Warren things up to now? They doing something crazy? Doing something stupid? Probably. You know, in thinking about this house, We didn't know why God was calling us into this house or into this area. But I can tell you that there's been some miraculous things that have taken place. There's been some things that God knew was going to happen because we stepped into this house because we didn't know. One of those things is, if you've been in my house, it's a pretty big house, but not when you have 10, 11, 12 people in it. It's a four-bedroom house, and all of our bedrooms are upstairs with one bathroom, and here's what's so amazing about it. The bedrooms themselves are gigantic, y'all, and what these gigantic rooms have allowed us to do is just keep bringing in foster kids. We always have room. We just do. Right now, we have 3 beds available in our home. I don't even know how, y'all. We over the weekend our family was at 11, and we still have room because we stepped into this house that God knew He was going to use. We have beds. I walk by and I see my daughter's room. She's got a bunk bed and there's an empty bed. I'm like, why isn't there a child in that bed? Like, what? It's empty. That's dumb. Let's fill that. Right? Crazy, stupid word things. And, there's this tiny room in the back of the house that we were like, what do we do with this? It's the smallest room ever. It's right off of a bathroom. And like, what do we do with this? But that room, that space is now our Lydia's own space. And it's just the way that God orchestrated and moved things. It was phenomenal. There were risks involved, but miraculous things took place because we were willing to step into them. So here's what I want to say to you today is that this faith risk will always be met with miracles along the way. If you're willing to take risk, where's it going to take you? That's what we're talking about today, the destination of the risk. Where is God leading? Where is God calling you to go? How is God challenging you to grow? In your own life, yes, but even us as a church. I want to dive into the story of Joshua in Jericho today. They're going to put that up on the screen. It'll be Joshua 6. We'll be in verse 1. I want you to have it on the screen. I'm not going to read it word for word, but I want you to be able to do that for yourself if you want. Many of you may know the story of Jericho. You may have known what's leading up to the story of Jericho, but let me kind of just give you the background. The Israelites were rescued out of Egypt from slavery. They wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, and now Moses has passed away, and Joshua is this new leader. They're standing, at the banks of the Jordan. They're getting ready to cross over, or before this, they have crossed over to begin to conquer the Promised Land. And the first city they have to conquer is Jericho. Now, what you need to know about Jericho is they kind of have heard about what took place. They have heard about the Israelites, not really just the Israelites. They've heard about the God of the Israelites and the things that he has done. And so this city, they probably have sent out scouts, and they see that there's this vast multitude of Israelites, and we know where they're coming from, and we think we've heard where they're going, and we're in their path. And so this city was on high alert. And so I want to dive into Joshua 6 now. Verse 1, it says, Jericho was strongly fortified, and no one in the city was entering or leaving. And then Joshua, he said, hey, I've handed you Jericho. Here's what I want you to do. Here's the plan. I want you to march around the city one time a day for 6 days. Then, as you do that, I want the priest to be leading ahead of you, to have the ark and to be leading ahead of you, and they will have the horns, and they will be leading in front of you with the horns, trumpets, and they'll have the ark with them. So you'll be doing that for 6 days. Just march once, have the priest leading you, have the ark leading you. And then on the seventh day, I want you to march 7 times. And at the end of the 7th time, the priest is going to blow the ram's horn. He's going to blow the trumpet. And when you hear that prolonged trumpet blast, have all the people give a mighty shout, and then the city wall will collapse. And if you know the rest of the story, that's what took place. They marched around the city 6 times. They marched 7 times on the 7th day. The trumpet sounded. Everyone shouted, and the walls came down, and they conquered Jericho that day. It was kind of a risky plan, and that's what I want to talk about. Kind of going back to what I just said, faith risk will always be met with miraculous along the way. Before we dive into the rest of this, let's pray. God, I just pray right now, man, that your spirit would open our hearts and our minds to your word today, to your word that is transforming and challenging. God, to the things, the miraculous things you've done in the past, to the things that you know are going to happen in the future, God, that we would be willing to take risk in our faith to see where you're leading us. Be with us now as we dive into your word. It's in Jesus' name I pray, amen. It's a bit of an odd way to conquer a city, right? A bit of a risky way to conquer a city. I don't know why, but as I envision the Israelites marching around a city, I'm just like, why didn't they just pour hot tar on them? You know what I'm saying? Like, just be done with it. You got archers. Just take them out, you know? Anyone ever watched the cartoon VeggieTales? So they did this. If you didn't, it's okay. It's a kid's show. It's a Christian kid's show, and they do these stories, and they did the story of Jericho. And inside Jericho, it's like the pea people. They're peas, right? And they have these funny voices. They talk like they're Frenchmen. It's hilarious. And so the Frenchmen are up on the wall, these two peas, and they're talking back and forth, and they're making fun of the Israelites. And I think that's what I'd be doing. Like, what are these crazy Israelites doing? What is their God called them to do in this moment? It's risky and it's odd. But even in this risky, odd plan, they marched and they shouted and the walls came down. They took a risky approach because God said to, and guess what? It paid off. I think you read that story and you're like, wait, what? How did this happen? Here's how this happens. God always knows something that you don't. Turn to someone and say, God knows something that you don't. He just knows. You know what I'm saying? God knows something that we don't. God knew that there was some structural or foundational weakness in the walls of Jericho. And as you begin to research and dive a little bit more into this story, you realize that there was something else that happened that God knew about that led up to this moment. We go back to when the Israelites were standing at the Jordan River. We're gonna dive into Joshua 3 now. They're standing at the Jordan, and it's in their path to get to where they need to go, and they need to cross it somehow. And so we jump over to Joshua 3, verse 9. It says, Joshua told the Israelites to come a little bit closer. I want to tell you something. The Lord is going to tell you something. And here's what the Lord says. When the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth, when that Ark goes into the Jordan, when the feet of the priests are carrying the Ark of the Lord, when their feet come to rest on the Jordan's waters, the waters will be cut off. The water flowing downstream will stand up into a mass. And so this is another crazy plan, right? And so in verse 14, it says, when the people broke camp across the Jordan, the priests carried the Ark of the Covenant ahead of the people. The priests are going before. The Ark is going before. That's important. And the Jordan, this is kind of a weird note, right? This is kind of interesting. Verse 15, it says, now the Jordan River, here's a fun fact for you. The Jordan River overflows its banks through the harvest season. What this river should normally be doing is overflowing. But here's what happens is they go, and as soon as the priest carrying the ark reached the Jordan, their feet touched the water flowing stood still, and the people crossed over to Jericho. And so there's this other risky, odd plan. Something is so interesting to note, and I think I just want to point this out, is do you notice that in both scenarios that the Ark of the Covenant, God, where they believe like that was like God's presence with them and the priest, God always goes before us. He went before them as they crossed the Jordan. He was in front of them and leading them as they marched around. He was even in front of them and leading them when they were going through the wilderness. God goes before us because God knows what's coming. God knows what he's calling us to. And so there's this theory I was reading about that talked about how this water might have stood still. In this region, it was known that there would be earthquakes that would take place. And so what they theorize is that there is an earthquake that took place, and it caused the water to be stopped up far upstream, and that stopped the water. And that's, you know, that's cool. That's a cool, fun fact. But here's what's so miraculous about God. He knows something we don't. He knew the exact moment that was going to happen, or he created it to happen, because he's God. He can do whatever he wants, right? But he knew in the moment that the priest's foot stepped, the water stops. And so that needs to happen long before, you know, their foot hits the ground, because for the water to stop, it needs to be stopping long before. And so there's this event that takes place where an earthquake takes place that stops the water so that they can cross over the Jordan. And they theorize that it was close enough to Jericho that it shook the foundations of Jericho. Not enough to bring it down, but enough to make it weak. So in one moment, God knows what's going to happen with the Jordan, but he's also setting up another moment when they go and march around Jericho. So you have earthquake one that's caused by God, right? And then what's God tell people to do? He says, here's the plan. I want you to take all 100,000s of you Israelites. I want you to go march around this city. Just think about that. Think about 100,000 people or more marching around a city day after day, just stomping, right? They do it 7 times. On the 7th day, the trumpets sound and they start screaming. What does that kind of create? It creates another earthquake, right? And that second earthquake brings the walls down. God knew. And while we say, well, that's kind of weird, that's kind of risky, God's like, no, it's not. It's the easiest way for you to conquer this city because I'm setting it up for you. Just believe, just have faith, just know that I know. I always know something that you don't. So God, he did what only he could do, right? The earthquake. And he could have done an earthquake at both times. We don't know. It's, again, there's some theorizing there, but God does what only he can do, right? He's got that earthquake. He's in control of the nature. And we do what only we can do. We march and we shout, right? We're real good at that, right? Marching and shouting, and the walls of the enemy came down. And don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to discredit anything that God can do. God, if he wanted to, he could go like that, and the walls would come down. But God often uses the natural. He uses nature, right, to do the supernatural. And just as God uses nature, he'll use human nature to carry out his purposes on this earth. And so God knew something was going to happen. The Israelites didn't know. Joshua didn't know. But God says, hey, here's the plan. Go over the Jordan, just step in it, walk through it, it'll be fine. Okay, cool, God, that's awesome. The water will stop. They didn't know it was going to happen. They didn't know if God's plan was going to work, but they knew in God enough and who God was, they had enough faith that the God who asked them to move would make it happen. The God that would ask them to go would see them through it. God knows something that we don't. And I've seen God move in so many ways that I am faithful enough that even what I don't know, even what I can't see, even what I'm fearful of, it pales in comparison to what God knows, to what God is doing, and how God is orchestrating things to advance the kingdom of heaven here on earth. It pales in comparison. And so when I say yes, when you say yes, when we say yes to God's request, no matter how unorthodox, it's going to lead to the miraculous. Because we serve a God of miracles. We serve a God who knows what's going to take place. God knows. He knows. And in these two stories, they were risky. They were unorthodox, right? And when have you ever heard of another city being taken down by people marching around it? God does things in different ways because he wants us to have faith and believe that he is going to get them through it. So we read about the things. I mean, if you read through the Bible, there's a lot of things like that. And you read different stories like this, and you're like, oh, that's cool. That's really wild. But you also, at the same time, you begin to wonder, why is God doing it that way? And here's the thing. Even though we wonder, here's what we can know. If we know Scripture, if we're reading Scripture, we know that God's ways are better. We know that God knows more, God knows better, and he's leading us somewhere magnificent if we'll just have faith to believe in him. Faith to go where he's asking us to go. And so now for us, we enter into our story. It's a bit of an odd time and a risky time to be stepping into this building. It's a risky time to be stepping into greater financial burden. Honestly, it's really odd how all of this happened. And I've shared this before, but the only reason that I'm standing here, the only reason that you're sitting there is because of COVID. Just think about that. We've talked about it. Obstacles? No. We're going to see opportunity. And that's what we've seen. It's odd. It's risky. And it's what's taking place. And we don't know what's going to happen the rest of 2020. We're praying nothing else, right? But the way it's been going, who knows, you know? We don't know, but we're believing in a God. But I just, with all of this in mind, I begin to wonder, man, what did God know? What did God know leading up to this moment? What does he know that will take place because we got to this moment? And how else And where else is he going to call me to take huge steps of faith over and over again? I get thinking about that. Now, I don't know about you, but in my life, I often want to know the plan, right? All the details of the plan. I want to know everything that's going on. I want to be able to kind of just see it all taking place before I say, okay, let's do this. I want to see it. I want to see results immediately, right? Like if I do this, I want to see the results that come from it, or else I'm not going to do it, right? I want to make sure. I want to know that the risks that I'm taking are worth it. But we don't grow in our faith by what we see and what we know. We grow in our faith by following a God who sees and knows everything. Or it's following him. It's believing in him. It's reading his word and seeing that he has led his people from the beginning. And he has orchestrated his story, the story of salvation through his son. And he's still doing that today. And he's going to use us, right? And it's believing in that. But most of us, we need to see it. We need to know the details surrounding it before we can commit to it. But faith is committing to go without knowing or seeing. Hebrews 11, verse 1 and 2, this is the message version. It says, the fundamental fact of existence is that this trust in God, this faith, is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. It's our handle on what we can't see. The act of faith is what distinguished our ancestors and set them above the crowd. The faith to step into the waters, believing that they will separate. The faith to walk around a city, believing that the walls will come down and we will conquer. It's this faith. It's in the not knowing and the not seeing, but believing in a God who knows and sees everything. You know, as we risk it for the biscuit, there are things that we can know. There are things that we can calculate. There are tangible things that will help us be willing to give towards this goal that we have. I can itemize things to help us be a little bit more comfortable about giving, saying, okay, I can see giving to that, and I can see giving to that. I know where my money is going. There's these tangible things. There's this building, right? We're getting the kids' ministry ready, and we're going to be able to do amazing things in there. We want to get some furniture in there and some toys in there and some play places in there. We got the chairs. Those chairs are comfy, right? We got the chairs going. We want to get our cafe set up the way that we want. There's cameras. There's equipment. There's speakers. There's microphones. There's paint, and there's carpet, these tangible things. There's more time for us to have groups. There's more time for us to disciple. There's this opportunity now where we can hold foster and adoptive classes, and you believe that's going to happen as soon as I can do that. There's these tangible things, equipment, furniture, renovations. There's signage, getting the word out. There's the lease. That's a tangible thing. There are all these tangible things, and while I think it's so important that we can know the tangibles, I believe it's the intangibles. It's what we don't know. It's the God moments that will happen that make it worth the risk. Because there are so many things that we don't know are going to happen. There are so many people that are going to come in here and have their life radically transformed by Jesus Christ. It's going to change their life. It's going to change their family life. It's going to change their kids' life and their kids' life for generations to come. Those are the intangible things. That is the risk that is worth it. And they're not knowing. You know, as I was thinking about just not knowing, maybe not knowing a destination, not where we're going, I got to thinking about when we're getting ready to tell the kids we're going somewhere. Now, you have two options here, okay? Like, if it's somewhere big, you can either, one, just keep it all a surprise. Just keep it a surprise and then just be like, hey, here's what we're doing. Or keep it a surprise until we get there and then they can be real excited. Or you can tell them. Now, here's what I've come to realize, that when you tell your kids where we're going, when we're going, and how long it's going to take, they get real annoying, right? They get super excited, like, when are we going to get there, Dad? And they ask 400 times, are we there yet? And it's like, oh, I wish I just would have said we were going to, like, McDonald's or something, and we just really far drive. But no matter where we're going, like, that's the thing. Do we tell them, do we not tell them? And like, you know, there's this anticipation, like, okay, we're going somewhere. Maybe it's to Legoland. We got passes. Or maybe we're going, even trips to grandma's house for them are really special. You know what I'm saying? They don't get to do that often. So we're going to, don't tell them. Because there's no telling what they're going to bring and what they're going to pack and how long they're going to, you know, plan on staying and how many questions they're going to... Anyway, sorry. It's just, there's a lot that happens when you tell them. And sometimes they get so caught up in the destination that they forget about the journey along the way. They forget about the journey. And oftentimes, God doesn't tell us where we're going because we tend to ruin it before we get there. We ruin it. Instead of enjoying the journey, enjoying what's taking place right now, we focus too much on where we're going. Think about the Israelites. God brought them out of Egypt, where he said, hey, we're going to the promised land. And do you want to know what the Egyptians wanted? They wanted to go straight from Egypt right into the promised land. But God knew in order for them to actually conquer the promised land, they needed to begin to fully trust and live for him before they could do that. And so those 40 years of wandering was God preparing them for the destination. But they were so excited about the destination because they knew beforehand that they grumbled and complained about not being there and they wanted to go back to Egypt. You just think about that. We tend to ruin it before we even get there. But even if we don't know, like let's say, okay, we tell the kids, hey, we got somewhere special. Guess what? Even if you don't know the destination, there's also this eager anticipation, right? I don't know what's coming, but man, my mom and dad are good to me. I don't think they're taking me to the dentist or to the hospital. And I know they're good because they've been good and they've been faithful. And a lot of times when we do things like this, it's really awesome. And that is the same God that we serve. Right? Regardless if he tells us where, if he says, hey, I got something special, then we get excited about it and we just follow. Because he's leading us somewhere miraculous. Sometimes we don't know the destination. And maybe you'll say, well, Pastor Brent, we know our destination. Like, we're in this series, we're talking about the building. Our destination is the building. No, it's not. The building is not the destination. The building is a tool that'll help us reach the destination. The building will allow us to do more and reach more, but the destination that we're talking about is an eternal one. It's an eternal destination because this building, it will perish. Sadly, Kairos Church won't be forever. But what we do within these walls, for those that are beyond these walls, those things will echo through eternity. Thank you, Maximus Aurelius from, what's that movie? I can't remember. Gladiator, that's right. I said that and I was like, man, I'm stealing his words, but they're good words. But that's it. Like, this isn't the destination. It's not about the building. And you're like, Pastor, that's a bad thing to say when you're trying to get into a building. I know. But it can't just be about these walls. It's about what God's going to do within these walls. It's about who God is going to reach. God knows that we will reach people because we were willing to take the risk. There's going to be people that come because we took the risk. There's going to be people that come because we chose to march. And we chose to stand, and we chose to stand at the enemy gate and shout and bring down the walls of hate and anger and regret and shame and addiction and family issues and ruined relationships. We're going to shout and we're going to stand because God told us to. And instead of those things, we're going to bring life and peace and truth and joy through Jesus Christ. That's what we're going to do. That is what this is all about. We're going to have to risk it to bring those walls down. Now, the Israelites, they crossed over the Jordan. They did what God said. They marched and they shouted and they conquered Jericho and others like it to take the promised land. But the promised land was not the final destination. It was just a destination on the journey to Jesus and to the cross. Right? It was leading to a promise of eternal life. To the fact that one day through Jesus, we will have an eternal destination in heaven. So this campaign, where God is leading, I'll tell you this, the destination of the risk, they mean nothing if we're not taking risk to share Jesus with others. I'm going to ask that my band will come up as I get ready to close this out. But that's the thing. We got to be willing to take risk to share Jesus. Yes, we have this space. Are we going to risk it so that more people can know Jesus? Are we going to risk it so that we can help people find Jesus? Come on, we're going to risk it to help people find a community of believers so that they can become more like Jesus, right? It's all about risking it for the Jesus biscuit. You're welcome. I told you I needed that to be something. I'm going to keep saying it every week. Listen, the risk we take for God must always lead others to Jesus. That's what this has to be about. When we risk it for Jesus. You know, I got to thinking about those thousands marching around and shouting and just, man, what that must have looked like, what that must have felt like, what that must have sounded like. You know, you think about conquering a city, and if you think about that as a single person or even just maybe an army of a few, it's a daunting task, but there is power in our numbers. And God knew that. God knew that for Jericho. God knew that there was going to be power in their numbers. And see, when we get enough people involved with the God movement, listen, foundations shake. Walls come trembling down. And God does miracles in our lives, in other people's lives, and those that we reach. And so as I think about this giving campaign that we kicked off 3 weeks ago, right? We're gonna enter into this $50,000 commitment to enter into this building, right? $50,000, that's a lot, Pastor Brent. There's a lot going on, and it's a daunting number when you look at it by yourself. But when you begin to come at that with all of us involved, listen, if 100 adults gave $500 for the year, it's $41 a month, and we reach our goal, 100. And when you break it down, and you see that, man, God is gonna use all of us to do the miraculous, man, it begins to be something that goes from being unattainable to more than attainable. Because God is behind it. Because we are willing to go. Because God knows something that we don't. We're willing to follow. Because God is planning and orchestrating things that we can't even imagine. That there's this eternal destination, not just for us, but for those that we're able to reach. So yes, there are risks and unknowns involved with giving. There are risks and unknowns involved with stepping into this building. There are risks and unknowns with going and growing. My question to you today as I close this out is, I wonder, where is God asking you to go? What risk or unknown thing do you feel God is calling you to? I'm going to ask that you would bow your heads, close your eyes, and think about that question as you do. Where is God calling me to go? What risk is God calling me to take in your own life, in your own walk? And maybe for you, it's in the small daily steps that God's saying, hey, I want you to take this risk in these daily steps to grow in your faith. Take a risk. Take some time. Risk something else so that you can have more time with me and grow to be more like me. Or maybe it's this big leap of faith where in that leap, you'll be able to help others grow in their faith. Maybe for you, it's the risk of being vulnerable and sharing a sin that you have in your life. Maybe it's the risk of being transparent and offering to forgive someone, or maybe offering and asking someone to forgive you. Maybe God is asking you to risk challenging a friend that you know is living in sin. Maybe God is asking you to be public with your faith, even though you might face ridicule. Maybe God is asking you to share your faith with someone, share about Jesus, even though it might cost you a friendship. There are risks. Maybe for you today, God is simply asking you to take the biggest risk of your life, to begin living for Him. You don't know where it's going to go. You don't have all the answers. But from what you've seen, what you've heard, what others have experienced, you know that God is good, that He has a plan for you, that He has salvation for you. And maybe He's just asking you today to step into a new life with Him. You know, these risks that we're called to take, they're not just every now and then risk. No, we're called to take risk every day. Because that's how we show others who we love and who we live for. And every faith risk we take paves the way for what's next. Could be big, it could be small, but it's paving the way. And the faith risk that you take today, it will affect your kids. It will affect their kids. It will affect generations to come. And here's the last thing I want you to know. It's not about knowing the destination. It's about our faithfulness on the journey we take to get there. God, right now, I thank you for this word. I thank you for this reminder that, God, we don't have all the answers. We don't know what's going to happen. But God, we are going to be faithful because we know who you are. We know what your word says about you. We know the miracles that you've done, not just in the Bible, but in our lives and other people's lives. And because of what we know about your character, and because of what we know about who you are, and about your grace, and about your mercy, and about your love, even though it was undeserved that you gave it, God, we are going to say yes. We will stand, we will march, we will shout, because we are believing that you are going to do things that have an eternal impact right here in our lives and in our community. God, it starts with us, and it starts with our heart. And maybe you've called us individually to stand at the walls of the barriers that we've put up, whether it's past hurt or trust or whatever it may be that you have said, hey, you need to bring that wall down. Just do what I say. Stand in front of it. Shout it down and say, God is bigger than you. God is bigger than my fear. God is bigger than the unknown. God is bigger than the things I don't see. God is bigger, God is greater, and God can save me. And I believe he can do that for you. But you got to be willing to stand and shout and say, no more. I'm not going to live this way no more. I'm not going to live in fear no more. I'm not going to live where I have to control everything, but I'm going to put God in complete control of my life, and I'm going to take risks for him. If you're here today, and you've never taken that step to fully surrender your life over to God, I want to invite you to do so today. I don't know what you know about God. I don't know what you know about Jesus, but I can say simply this, that Jesus was the Son of God. He came down to this earth. He took our place, your place on the cross. He died for your sin so that you could be forgiven, and he rose again 3 days later, so that you could experience that new life in Christ. If you believe that, and if you confess that, that Jesus is the Lord and Savior of your life, man, he will be. It's not just a confession, not just something you believe. It's something you take risks for every single day to live out in your life, and I'm praying that that's what takes place for you. God, thank you for the day. Thank you for this word. Thank you for these people. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.